You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 116 of Well Met. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is July 17, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's jump on over to Kansas City with our good friend J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John. Looking forward again to this week, episode 116. How did we get so many episodes? Like, I remember, like, it was yesterday we were on, like, episode 50.
It was an accident. It was absolutely an accident.
That's true. This was pretty
accidental. We didn't mean for this to go that far or that long. We figured somebody would have shut us down or, called the cops or something. But nope, we're still here.
And we even get the new people to join us, too. Well, not new anymore. They're kind of old now. So,
yeah, we bribe them with arcane dust is what we do.
Ooh, 30
arcane dust a show for any co-host of Well Met. Tell you what, four episodes and you get yourself four common cards there, young buck. So
that's some value.
Don't say Well Met doesn't pay well because it doesn't. Anyways, good to see JR. Let's jump on over to, the Krispy Kreme of Hearthstone with Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going, John?
It's good. I need to figure out where you're from, at least the states, that I can lead you in. Instead, I'm just going to say you're from donut shops until we figure that out.
Sure. Yeah, I'm from New Hampshire. So
hey, wait, me too. Go. Wait, what? Are you actually?
Yeah.
I am too.
Oh no way!
Why are you not going to the Tavern Heroes, bro? What?
I didn't know about it.
Why? Oh my god! I posted about this on my Twitter. I literally said in New Hampshire. What? You're blowing my mind right now.
John, did we just create the love connection on Walmart?
Did. We did.
I don't know if you're actually trolling or not, because literally nobody's from New Hampshire.
Literally nobody.
I moved here about 3 months ago.
That's really unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, still picking his brains up off of the floor from his mind being blown, it's from New Hampshire, Racy. Hey, Ray.
What's up, John? How are you doing?
I've been so I'm so sleep deprived right now. It's not even funny. But
I see.
Honestly, I still think I'm doing a little bit better than the week that you've had.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple. Well, I guess it was like 1 week and then like a little bit before that from the whole tooth thing. Yeah.
The tooth thing? Please don't be so descriptive. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Oh, I got my tooth pulled because it was infected, blah, blah, blah. Stuff happened. Got hit by an intubation tube and I had heart surgery last year. It's not really a big deal, but now it's good. Now we're good.
I do have a question. What is worse, playing Pirate Warrior or getting your tooth pulled?
Well, now that I have my tooth pulled, I'm kind of role-playing Patches, so I don't think I can draw it anymore in my opening hand, so I don't think I'll hate Pirate Warrior as much anymore.
All right. Fair enough. Very good job at sidestepping the question. Nice job. Okay. Wow. Does it feel like it's been a while, you guys? Does it feel like it's been some time since we've...
Between the last show or what?
Yeah.
Since we had the whole team together.
It's just like this feels a little weird to me. Just feels
maybe it's because you're sleep deprived.
Maybe if Ray puts his shirt back on, it'll feel a little bit.
I think it's just been a slow week of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like Like of the whole like we got the announcement, we're super excited, but we don't get to hear anything else until next week now.
Right. Well, I mean, Ben Brode, like that, he even said in his AMA, we're going to go through the AMA pretty in depth later on in the show, but we might as well just talk about this now. When they were talking about the timing of introducing the different sets, essentially, they've kind of just come out and said, we don't like drip feeding a few cards at a time, like from the beginning, because by the time the expansion launches, the hype is kind of over, which I don't know if I agree with that, but I don't know. Do you guys agree that this is a better way to do it? Even if it means that us podcasters have 2 weeks of filler time and nothing to talk about the game.
Personally, I'm not a fan of announcing it and giving you like just a little bit of a sneak peek and then waiting like 2 weeks before you reveal anything else. If they want to do the reveal, they should just do the reveal like 2 weeks later and then, you know, spend the 2 weeks or however long you want to feed the cards out and get people hyped up for the release that you're going to have within 2 to 3 weeks of your announcement, not this announce, wait a while, and then now we're going to hype things up.
But just, Blizzard had to get the pre-sales out. That's why they announced it so early.
That Frostmourne card back, yo.
That's true.
Same time, though. Like, Danny, I think you hit on a really good point, because I think those pre-sales mean a lot for the initial influx of the expansion, but I'm very impulsive, and when you tell me that I have 4 days to pre-order an expansion, I might pre-order it 3 or 4 times. I'm just saying I might, because I'm very impulsive when it comes. I've bought like 7 t-shirts in the past four weeks because they were all limited time. Like the Twitch Amazon Prime Day t-shirt, got that one.
Mm-hmm.
Got the well. One of Me the too. Limited edition Destiny ones as well. So I don't know. But you're actually really right, is that those pre-sales do matter. I don't know.
Especially for people that budget money, because having, you know, time enough to, you know, go, oh, I've got 4 weeks to buy this. I need to, you know, in the next 4 weeks, I need to budget $50 or whatever. I can understand that, but I'm with John. Like, when something gets announced, I'm like, credit card, who cares? Future JR will care about it later.
In my case, mom's credit card, who cares?
Most OP card in the game. Mom's credit card.
It's the mom's credit card. I'm building my credit. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, that took an unexpected turn. Let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone really quick and everything outside of it. Ray, you kind of gave us a little bit of an insight to the amount of painkillers that you're on. So good luck for the rest of this show.
I mean, I kind of had a mental breakdown while I was streaming the other night. That was fun.
Standing up, walking around. It was interesting indeed.
Yeah, that was a stream. I think there was a point where I just was laughing for like 10 minutes without doing anything. I was just sitting there.
Yeah.
Just slowly losing my sanity, and it wasn't even because of Hearthstone. But yeah. I don't think the Hearthstone helped. But I actually did get top 100 legend. So I somehow still managed to do that. I just played aggro druid.
How bad does it feel, at least for me, where I'm like sitting around like rank 7 right now, in the best intellectual prime of my life, and then Ray over here is like, I'm walking around, I'm dancing, and he's top 100 legend. Please tell me this game is luck. Somebody tell me that this game is luck. Because
I could, like, playing Hearthstone, it's just like instinctual. Like, I don't have to think about it.
Instinctual.
No, it is.
At least
like,
it
requires a real
instinctual
thing.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but instinctual Is that a word?
Yeah, like I can play off my instincts. Like I don't have to think about anything if I want to play.
Instinctual is a word.
It's like an athlete,
I apologize.
Right? Like, it's like an athlete. You have muscle memory. It's like mind memory in Hearthstone.
Yeah. Like if I'm
so
playing
you're
a deck.
I don't have any mind memory. Is it mind memory, no. Just memory?
John, you need a brain to have that. That's the problem here.
All right. Well, sounds like you need to take your medication there, young buck. Let's go over to Danny. Danny, what
don't
have
you
been
want,
up to?
I don't think you want that right now, John.
I kind of
want
to see
really
that.
I really don't
okay.
think you want that.
Danny, what's up, dude?
Hey, I actually have a little bit of news for Hearthstone this week. I can now officially announce that I'm a wild expert on the Tempo Storm wild meta snapshot.
Audience, make sure to clap a really long time. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Hey, that's cool.
Can we go edit that down?
Nope. It's never going to happen.
He talked about editing it down since episode one. So
literally,
it's
like a staple
now. Yeah.
Sorry. You want to quit? You're not going to get your 30 dust. So, okay. Well, congrats. How's that been? Can you talk about who you're collaborating with at all or any of that other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been working with us. We have Scorpion, Poach, Umbari, and we've got a couple other team members that we've been working with. We should be getting something out relatively soon. I can't discuss too many of the details, but it's nice to start collaborating with them.
So, Vicious Syndicate or Tempo Storm? No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Don't answer
that.
Nope. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. I'm not going to make you answer that. But let the record show, he said. No, I'm just kidding. Cool, man. Well, that's huge. How's that doing? Because are you still contributing to Vicious Syndicate as well? So you'll be contributing to both?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be working on both of them.
How's that from a time commitment perspective?
Well, I haven't had an instance where they've overlapped yet. So that'll be the main point to see where it goes. But you're really working on one at one point during the week or the month and the other one at a different time.
Oh, cool.
I'm pretty good at budgeting my time.
That's good. That's good, dude. Good for you, man. Keep it up. Keep pushing out awesome content. For real. It's awesome. I've really enjoyed the Wild Meta Report, and I know you've had a huge hand in that for Vicious Syndicate, so I can only expect awesome things from Tempo, or the Frozen Pwn, should I say. The Frozen Pwn, I should only expect great things from. For those of you guys...
Yeah, now I work for the Lich King. For the Lich King
it's
now.
True. For those who are like, is John high? I am from Colorado.
Yes.
But no, I am not. And Tempo Storm, in honor of the Knights of the Frozen Throne, renamed themselves the Frozen Pwn, I guess. Or Knights of the Frozen Pwn, something like that. I don't know. It was funny, not that funny for me to look any deeper, so... That's what I meant. JR, what about you, man? What's up?
I've been playing a little bit. Been taking advantage of the double quest gold rewards in the game. So me and some buddies have been playing a little bit of that, getting, you know, whenever each of us gets to challenge a friend, that's been fun because you get 160 gold for doing that against someone. Nice. And then they get 160 gold as well. So that's really cool. That should be ending, I think, here in the next couple days, I believe, and probably replace it with a new event we'll talk about later. But I did also on the ladder, I think I went from like rank 17 to rank 5 this last week. So I'm going to see, maybe I'm at the point where it's like, do I want to make the legend push or do I just want to be a dad legend this month? I might try to make the legend push. I've been playing Secret Mage, and I've been having pretty good results with that. I don't think that's a tier 1 deck anymore. I believe it's now ranked around tier 2. But I've been having fun with it because Mage, for some reason, Mage and Angoro has been like the class that I have played the most of in this set. And for some reason, like the Mage play style with this set has just been what I've been good with.
Yeah, it's really weird that you're really good at annoying classes. I would not have expected that at all.
Why is Mage annoying? What?
Really?
I mean, Mage isn't... I don't think Mage isn't... If you're playing Freeze Mage, I agree. I'm not playing with, like, Ice Block or anything like that. In fact, Secret Mage is very more, you know, just tempo-based than anything.
Yeah, it's like Tempo Mage.
Right.
You can try to, like... justify my annoyances with Mage as a class all you want. All I know is I always end up dying in like one turn, or the Flame Wakers of the past have always ended up wrecking my face. Like I'm a Flame Waker magnet, I guess.
I actually made a deck that I got like rank one legend with Ronin in Tempo Mage, and I would Barnes into Ronin and then just immediately win the game. It was amazing. It was just like Hyrule Tempo Mage. It played like Rag, Ronin, like Archmage, like all this stuff where if you just get it, the game's over. Paveling it was so fun. Book?
Did you have Paveling Book in there?
No, because it decreases your odds of Barnes hitting the good cards. Come on, John. What are you doing?
What? Oh, sorry. What are we talking odds and percentages again? Sorry. Sorry. Even
that's why you're ranked 7.
Oh my god. Rank 7 is totally respectable. Okay. Thank you very much. I'll get there. I will get at least a rank. I'm gonna say rank 3.5. I'm gonna say that. That's my goal. 3.5 this month.
3.5. Do you wanna make a bet, John?
No.
On whether or not okay.
No, I don't. Here's the thing. Here's why. This is why I don't. So, number one, Destiny closed beta. It starts in 2 days. So, there's a week gone from my life right there. So, we've got that going on. I'm actually, big announcement time, I'm actually starting a third podcast. It's called Return to Orbit. It's a Destiny podcast. You can just go to r2o cast.com, and you can find links to everything. I'm really excited about it. I'm doing it with a Destiny streamer named Sean Bartley, who's just like a Destiny god. Really fun dude, really fun to chat with, and I'm really excited about it. But I've been spending a lot of time getting that show up and running. Our first episode records on July 25th, and it'll be at 9 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/R2Ocast if you guys want to check it out. If you're Destiny fans, I'm really excited to start chatting and playing more Destiny with more of like a content creator's perspective rather than just a I'm playing this to have fun with my brother or whatever. So that's my big news, but that's probably why I'm not going to bet about climbing much higher on the competitive ladder this week. So
this is a very good answer. I respect that answer.
Thanks, dude. Thanks, bro. Tell you what, if you want to take show notes for the next 2 weeks, I'll make a bet.
Whoa. All right. We'll see how I feel after I see the dentist tomorrow.
Okay. So that's a no. That's a no. All right. I think that's it for us. Let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Before we get started, we do want to thank our Well-Met legends, the real Ben and Carell. Thank you so much for your support of Well-Met. If you like Well-Met, want us to continue to bring you awesome things every week, bring on cool guests, you will notice Control the Board isn't here this week. We ran into a last-minute scheduling issue, but we're really, really intent on bringing him on soon, bringing you on a wild special type show. But that just is not this week. But thank you again to our Well-Met legends. Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Find out how you can get involved. Also, we're having awesome discussions on our Discord. So come hang out. Discord.me/WellMetPodcast. I think we're up over 160 people now in there. So there's a lot of people there looking for friends and relatives and building their genealogy trees. And
there's actually legitimate Hearthstone discussions in there too.
Okay. Yeah, that's true too. That might be a different Discord I'm a part of, but it's been really fun. So Come hang out with us. For real. It's fun. All right. The Frost Festival is coming to Hearthstone? Question mark. JR, what?
So, yeah, the Frost Festival, I believe it was Hearthpwn that caught this in some of their data mining. And it's been kind of hinted at also and been broed with that AMA we were talking about. He was kind of saying, because they were asking him when the double quest reward event that I was talking about, Midsummer Festival, was going to end. And he said he didn't really have an answer, but that Ragnaros needed to chill out, kind of hinting at this Frost Festival that should be coming up. The festival itself should last about 3 weeks. There's some cool arena rewards that you're going to get, including basically a free arena run for once a week for the 3 weeks. So you'll get the rewards from playing that free arena run. Plus, for every three arena games that you play, or your first three arena games that you play each week, you will get a Frozen Throne card pack as well. There's no details on when this starts, but I would imagine, since it says it's going to run about 3 weeks, I would imagine the Midsummer Festival is going to end this week, and we're going to see this event probably start right after that event ends, which would lead us to around, I believe, still an August 10th or so release date for Frozen Throne. And that's so, my thoughts, at least.
And so none of this is official, right, Ray? Like, we don't
none of
have,
this is official.
We don't have, like, any official mention. These are just data mined strings, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this has all been basically data mined.
A lot of the time that's accurate, that. Though.
Right, totally. Right. That's why we're talking about it, because there's a good chance it's going to be true, at least the big overarching ideas of it, even if the details are different. So, hey, that's pretty cool. What else we got? Oh, appear offline. So Ray, I finally can't tag Ray all week long with what deck should I play? Why'd you play that? Why didn't you do this?
I mean, I can go on busy, but like then people kind of know you're ignoring them, so it's a little rude. But now I can just go offline and just ignore John without him knowing. Which, I mean, I don't know if that's better or not. Kind of like going on busy, so that way he knows I'm ignoring him. It just feels a little bit better. I'm not really sure which one I'm gonna do. Now I just have options.
Thanks, Ray.
But then it's an extra sting when you queue into him.
Oh,
at rank 7.
I can't do that though. I can't do that though. That's the problem.
He's at rank 7 and his medications have been so strong that he thought he was rank 7 legend, and he's actually at rank 7. So
I will believe that we get an appear offline mode when we finally get an appear offline mode. This has been something that Blizzard announced in 2012. And at the time said it was coming soon. We're 5 years later, and we still have not seen it.
Well, Jeff Kaplan even said recently on, I can't remember if it was the Overwatch forums or Reddit, but he said that there's a lot of logistical things that in a pure offline mode, like everybody wants to do it, but all the games have to do it in order for it to work.
Right.
So it essentially has to go through Battle or the Blizzard app or Battle.net system to make that happen. If only we knew someone who listened to this show who is in charge of those Battle.net systems and had a big hand in those.
I don't know anybody.
You know, but besides that, like, I would love to see this, but I would really be really surprised to see this in Hearthstone when just the week prior, the game director for Overwatch is like, yeah, we'd really like to do this, but here's why it's complicated, you know?
Right. I think it's a cool idea for people who play a lot of different Blizzard games. And, you know, they might have the WoW friends that they play with, World of Warcraft friends that they play with, and they want to play Heroes of the Storm, but they're, you know, maybe they're playing with Heroes of the Storm friends or something like that. And they don't want to be bugged by their guildmates in WoW to hop over and play. They just want to play Heroes of the Storm, not have anybody bug them while they're playing that game with other friends or something like that. I totally get the reasons why you would want to use a peer offline in this case. For me, I doubt I ever actually use it, mostly because I don't have any friends. I tried adding Ray like last week, and he just shrugged me off.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh. I was like,
Jared doesn't
sure
even
I...
follow Ray on Twitter, for the record.
No, I do. Just he had to follow me first.
Just from BlizzBro, yeah. He just had to follow you first. Okay.
But there's actually a competitive like advantage to gain from appearing offline. That's why everybody goes into busy on the last day of month when they go into tryhard mode. It's because they don't want to get queue sniped by people on their list, or they don't want to like you can see when people are like heading into play mode or whatever,
right?
And like when they're in their collection and stuff, so you can get an idea of who's queuing up. If you're high legend, you generally have like a lot of other high legend players on your friends list. So sometimes, like, say I want to avoid playing against Fibonacci because I'm playing Freeze Mage, I could just wait till he goes into his collection and then queue, because I know I'm never queuing into him
when I queue up. Wait until I start a game or something.
Yeah, or wait until they start a game. But if you go offline, like, you're giving your potential opponents no information.
That's true. Do you think that that's all it ends up being, is just this a pure offline option? Like, something I would really like is to appear offline except to my, like, favorites, right? Because I would love for, like, you know, I've got my little brother there. I don't have any of you guys there, obviously. But, you know, no, got my little bro there. Katie's there. Would love for them to know when I'm online. But, you know, for you guys, it's like, stop PMing me, please. Please. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you think that we might see more iteration on this? And maybe that's why it's...
That sounds way too complicated for Blizzard.
Let's have them get it out first.
Yeah.
Let's get this,
baby
this out
step.
Before we start.
You guys have so much faith.
I don't have any faith, actually.
Unbelievable. It's called sarcasm.
So, Ray, how much of a problem is that on the high level on the last day with people doing the sniping like that? Is that a pretty serious problem competitively?
I don't think it happens that much, but when it happens, it's like people get really suspicious, and it's not healthy. Like, say I'm like queuing for like rank one legend or something, and I get sniped by somebody who's on my friends list and they're playing a counter deck to me. Like, in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, especially if you're streaming or something, like if you're on Watchstone, like some of my friends have been on Watchstone before, like say inspectating them, and then they queue up and they just hit a direct counter and somebody who is like closely ranked to them. So since there's no delay on those kinds of streams, it's, you just have in the back of your mind, like, what if they actually are sniping me kind of thing. So.
Yeah, because the reason why I was asking is because now I'm wondering if maybe Hearthstone just itself is looking at implementing this instead of it being a battle.net wide thing.
Being on busy is similar because they don't know when you're going into play mode and stuff. They can't message you, whatever. So being busy is kind of similar, but being offline is like kind of taking it to the next level.
I see. Interesting.
Does that happen at the high-end wild ladder as well, Danny?
It does. Not to the same extent, but because there are so many fewer wild legends, especially towards the end of the season, you'll start to see you'll only be like with one or two other people on like high legend at any moment. So you're going to continuously counter into them.
Got it. So in the end, here's what you do. Do what I do. Have three computers.
Don't hit legend. That's exactly what I was thinking. I love you, JR. Just stay at rank 7. Then you won't have to worry about it.
I think we just made John rage quit. Now I feel bad.
He should have seen that coming, honestly. I. If he didn't see that one coming, you know, I think John's losing his wit. Is he coming back?
I don't know. I think he's gone.
Hey, John.
I think it's just us now.
John, it's okay. I have ice for you.
I have the phone number for the top 10 burn centers in the United States.
Damn, he's still gone.
This is the first time I've done this in 116 episodes. I don't think I've ever just made John. I made him kick me off the show before, like kick me out of the Skype call. But I've never just straight up like said something that he just gets up and leaves and doesn't come back.
I mean, I'm honestly kind of disappointed in myself for not thinking of it before you said it. More than anything, that's what I'm disappointed about.
Oh, good, he's back. Sorry, John. I will never burn you again if this is what it's going to be. You just leaving.
I need a Frostfire festival for that burn, or just Frost festival for that burn. Yeah, rip. You know what I really need to do is I really need to go to the ice cream citadel and get myself a feel-good ice cream cone. Transitions! And tell you what, because that was so slick, Danny, can you tell us what's going on with the ice cream citadel? This just broke, so I don't blame you if you didn't get to see this yet. But I'm assuming
I watched this. So there was another. It's similar to the other bumpers that Hearthstone's been releasing, but you have a couple of kids that roll up to an ice cream joint, and it turns out that the Lich King is running the ice cream joint. So it's a pretty comedic commercial style thing, and I chuckled a little bit when I watched it.
Best one they've ever done. It's gonna be a real thing. Yeah, at San Diego Comic Con, right?
Yeah. So they're opening up a pop-up ice cream shop at San Diego Comic Con, where the Lich King's ice cream shop, the Ice Cream Citadel, and you can go there over San Diego Comic Con and get some ice cream
from the Lich King. Right? They're saying like you can actually get served by. It says the Lich King himself will be at his limited time shop near San Diego Comic Con selling ice cream. So that means that Arthas is handing me an ice cream bone. Right?
Absolutely. Okay. That's exactly what it means.
And it looks like there's a JR guarantee.
That is not a JR guarantee, but I'm assuming that's the case. I mean, you know, they got two different kinds of flavors. They're going to have merchandise there. I believe I saw Lance there in the chat say they're going to have t-shirts. So that would be pretty cool. I know
any listeners at San Diego Comic Con.
Any listeners going?
Get one for John, not Ray, because. Anyways,
so yeah, but they're gonna have that, and I believe there's gonna be some Blizzard developers and people around the area as well.
Yeah,
I know the email I got said that Yang Wu was gonna be around.
Oh,
there's gonna be a lot of them. Frodan's not going to DreamHack Atlanta because he said he was going to San Diego Comic Con. So I'm assuming they're getting like influencers to go as well.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool. But this whole Lich King thing has been pretty funny because it all started with Ben Brode interviewing the Lich King for a job. Right. And the Lich King didn't have, you know, the experience. And he told him, you know, you need to go out and get some experience. And so that's when the Lich King went and decided to take over Tempo Storm. And own an esports, you know, to get that experience. Now he's going for, you know, the ice cream shop. So it's going to be interesting to see next week what the Lich King is potentially going to do to get that experience, maybe become a Hearthstone designer.
This is the best, like, thing that they've done.
Hands down, for sure.
Commercial-wise.
Yeah. It's actually one of my friends who, he was a big WoW guy. And he absolutely fell in love with it. He's like, this brings back all the old memories of all the old raids.
Yeah, it's like, it reminds me of like Stranger Things. Like the one today reminded me of just kind of like that weird Stranger Things alternate dimension thing. I love it. The kid's like, but I'm lactose intolerant. And then the Lich King goes, your suffering is at an end. We have sorbet. Like, it's just so it was really well done. It was the right kind of like funny, cringy, not like where's my guac guy. It's just you know, it's just like good old fun. Good old guac boy. So I really like it. I hope they I hope they keep bringing these out and they never bring back Guac Boy. Because
what if
Lich
King kills Guac Boy?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I will buy 500 packs. 500.
I hope you're listening, Blizzard.
I will buy 500 packs. Just saying. All right. So, cool. We gotta keep moving. It's been 40 minutes and we've just got through the news. But, you know, light week overall from things that impact the game. But also kind of a heavy week and like really cool things. So I can't find my esports sounder, so we're going to use this one instead.
Rooktar!
Oh, God.
And JR, or not JR, Ray, what is going on with Hearthstone Global Games? We're getting close to the end here.
Yeah, USA is still in it. New Zealand beat Canada, which was actually a really good, like, clash. They both had really strong players, like Pathro was on the New Zealand team, and then Canada obviously has like Hot Form, Cydonia, APX, crap, I'm blanking on the fourth one, but
it's minus five dust from your paycheck.
Oh god. Rip. Purple, there we go, got it.
All right, 2.5
back. Yeah. And that was actually probably the best match. The other ones, I don't know, they're— this sounds really bad, but like all the other countries besides Canada and USA, I kind of just don't feel invested in, which is kind of how it should be, because it's like you support your country or the countries that like you know people from.
Right.
So outside of that, like the other games, I don't really care about them. Like the other ones. But the USA won, so.
USA. So USA's in the round of eight now, right? So.
Yeah.
They play New Zealand next because they beat Canada 3-2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's take a moment because, Ray, you actually kind of hit on something. And on Well Met in the past, if you've been listening, you know that we've really wanted and called for consistent esports for a long time. Like something that's been really difficult is the stories of the players throughout the year. And in a way, I think the Hearthstone Global Games tried to give us that because we are on, I mean, week, what is it called? Week 15. We've done literally a quarter of a year straight of these things, 3 days a week of all of these different countries. And I'm going to be honest, I like catch it when I can, but I've been I've totally missed so many games. I think I've hit all of the USA games for reasons Ray highlighted beautifully. But like, do you guys think that maybe it was either too much, too many teams involved in these things, or just too long and too much? Or what? How do you guys feel about this overall?
I actually think that for the top cut of this, they should have done something like what they did for Ant. His story that they did for HGT was really, really good. And they should have done some type of segment on each team and given them some type of unique story or spotlight in their own way. And instead, we're just kind of just getting like we're just getting the games, but nobody really cares about that at a certain point. Like, I know people cared at the beginning because it was like a new concept and it was really cool. But like you said, I don't care about week 8, 9, 10, 11.
I care about
10,
the
11,
middle
12.
And the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you get people interested? And I don't know, maybe they could have done some type of storyline on the players throughout the season or created something with that, but they just kind of didn't. It was just a thing.
Do you think
that?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, I think it's just been really hard to follow. Like, for example, we were talking about it earlier today, and I said, hey, we should talk about HGG because it's going into the round of 16.
Yeah.
Which then it's like, no, and John's like, actually, it's a round of 8. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes my point even more clear that it's just— it's been so hard to follow that I didn't even know what round it was in yet. Like, I see this website and I'm like, oh, cool, it's round of 16. It shows some games going to be played tomorrow. But it didn't even have times on what time those games were going to be tomorrow. And I was like, wow, that's a bummer. And I come to find out if I clicked the show scores, I would have seen, you know, these games have already been played and now we're in the round of eight. But I didn't, you know, that's maybe I just didn't understand the UI when I first looked at it. But from a glance, it looked like the round of 16 was starting tomorrow. And it, even if I hadn't even gone to that website, I wouldn't have really known that it's been going on.
Yeah. Good I mean, I just think they should do some type of promotional video, like to get the hype going, but there's nothing. How many of you, like, I was hyped for Ant going into the championship, but like you guys didn't know who he was. And then,
I knew. I probably knew Ant before you did, young man.
That's not listen true, here. But...
It is true. Guaranteed. All right, sorry. I'm getting offended. Okay.
But I mean, like, I just remember JR like not knowing who Ant was, and I just told him to root for Ant. And then they came up with the video and he was like, "All right, I'm a fan now." And yeah. They could do that for the global games, like make the hype, like USA versus New Zealand, the two strongest teams arguably in the tournament, like it should be more hype. And instead it's like, here's the games, watch them, don't watch them, we don't really care.
I think Blizzard absolutely needs to do more videos like they did with that Ant video, because I'm not the only one I know that got invested in that because of that video. Like, that was just so well done on giving you a side of a player that you don't normally see when they're streaming, and just giving them that depth and giving them like a reason why you want to root for this person. They could have done the exact same thing with HGG, where it's like, you want to root for USA. Here are the people behind it. Here, you know, are what they are all about. We're not going to go into, you know, meme culture or anything like that. We're just going to just lay it out on who these people are as a person, and get you invested in that person, in that team. And I think that kind of stuff really helps, like, sell that storyline, like it did with Ant. That's the first video that I saw that Hearthstone has done on a player that was extremely well done and made you invested in a player. And I think they should absolutely do that more. It almost feels like kind of the ESPN, like 30 for 30 style things that they do that get you, interested in watching, like, more about your pro, you know, the pro athletes out there and things like that. It's just something I think they really need to do.
Do you think that works on a team level?
Yeah, the same thing. They can create hype for individual matches too, especially when it's like top eight and stuff. Like, they could make a promotional video for USA versus New Zealand and just emphasize why this match is important, what's on the line, stuff like that. I can guarantee you nobody who's watching knows what actually is on the line for that game.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I actually don't know either.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know. It could be $10,000 for that game. I would never know. No, I don't think anybody would, unless they looked it up, and that's not even easy to find, honestly.
Yeah, I totally, like, yes, I 100% agree with your saying. I don't know if it's the storyline. Now, something that I will say is that they've done a lot of other videos in the Ant style, but it was Ant's story that really, like, in my opinion, really drew people into that. Like, I don't think you do the exact same script with whatever, RDU, and I don't think you get that same investment that you get with Ant. Ant just, like, nobody knew about him. No one knew how lovable of a guy he was and how smiley.
But everyone has a story.
Right.
Everyone has a story.
If you, right, but
you can't push it too far, though. Then it ends up like something like America's Got Talent, where every single person who goes on there has some story. And I don't want to downplay anything that happened, but if you start doing it for everyone, then no one really stands out.
Well, you're only doing it for like the top eight so you can get a feel for the people playing so you care about it.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think the thing is too, is playing to that person's or that team's personality and strength. For example, like let's use Ray for an example. Like, I wouldn't want to see the same video for Ray that I would want to see for RDU. Like, RDU's like kind of an outspoken dude and, you know, kind of like really has these really strong opinions about things. Like, Ray, your story about how you've gotten into Hearthstone is totally different. And while in the end, like, the videos should highlight the story behind the player, give you depth, give you background, give you something to empathize with for why you want that team to win. But it's not all like the same, you know, format either. And I think that in the end, it wasn't just the way that they profiled Ant, but it was the fact that the way that they profiled Ant positioned his story so well to resonate with the Hearthstone fans. And so finding a way to do that with more teams and more people, I think, is really crucial for creating that story. Because I do agree that these storylines and these videos have been some of the best things to come out of competitive Hearthstone, which sounds funny because it's not competitive Hearthstone.
I mean, they did it for Amnesiac too, where they gave him the tag the Young Savage and they made him an interesting villain role of some type, or just gave him an archetype in the Hearthstone Championship anime.
The Hearthstone Championship anime. Oh, yeah. That's good. All right, boys. Any closing thoughts here? So in the top eight, let's just tell you what's going on. We've got China versus the Czech Republic, USA versus New Zealand, Mexico versus South Korea, Ukraine versus NLD. What? Netherlands, right?
Yep.
That's okay. I was like, I don't know that shorthand. Anyways, those are the top eight that you've got. And coming up, we've got China versus the Czech Republic and Ukraine versus New Zealand starting at 2 a.m. Mountain Time. So 1 a.m. Pacific Time on July 18th and July 20th. But just seriously, go to playhearthstone.com, hit the esports button and go to Global Games. They've got the schedule up there. And as long as you're not JR, it's not that confusing. So, you know, you'll be fine.
I just think the UI could be a little bit better, but maybe I'm just dumb, and that's probably more likely the case.
I love the fact that they have the spoiler tag, you know, to like hide and unhide scores. That's brilliant. I should just be able to click on the scores though to hide and unhide or something like that, rather than have a
hide scores. That's what I originally did.
It's like up above next to like the schedule heading, and then you have this week's schedule, and then you have where we are in progress for the whole thing. And then you have the group of 16, and then you have standings, and there's where you can, like, once you actually get to scores, you're three sections removed from the hide scores button. I totally agree with you.
I didn't even notice that. Wow.
Boom. Yeah. There you go. Some slight feedback for you, Hearthstone team. We love it, but those are our proposed changes. All right, this is the last time we're going to hear this sounder.
Journey to Un'Goro.
How did you convince me to do this?
Journey to Un'Goro.
Whatever.
All right. So hopefully we have a new rap from Ben Brode soon so that we can sound her in for all of our Knights of the Frozen Throne content. But until then, that's what we're going to use. Ben Brode on, it was Friday, right? Thursday or Friday. Did an AMA on Reddit. To just kind of discuss the state of the game, him as a game designer. There's a lot going on here. I don't want to talk through all of it myself, so I'm going to tell you right now, Ray, Danny, JR, be ready for where we are because I might call on you. No, pay attention in class, boys, because this is what we're going to do. So here's what we got from Ben Brode, and I'm just kind of going down the list of the most upvoted comments on Reddit, so it might not be in like perfect chronological order, but it's relatively close to that. So first, one of the best questions, my favorite question is, what's your favorite Hearthstone meme? And he says he's actually working on a meme review video, but if he had to choose, it would be between Ray C and a 4-mana 7/7. So sorry, he didn't say Ray C. That's my favorite Hearthstone meme. Ray C top 10 Kappa. Anyways, so 4-mana 7/7. Weigh in. Is that the best Hearthstone meme that we've seen so far?
It was the first original, like, modern meme for Hearthstone. So I think it's pretty nice that he has the original meme coming through. I mean, you have some of the old ones like Dr. Seven and all that stuff, but no.
Always wins brawls.
That's a Kit Kat thing, though. That is the
OG meme. No, that was like an everything meme. It started off as a Kit Kat meme, but everything starts off somewhere.
That's deep.
I think the first one that really took off was this deep. One, though. I thought that this was the first one that really took off.
That's
no, there's been
maybe I'm too far down the path of memery.
I get what you're saying, though. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's when bashing Hearthstone was cool, if that makes sense. Like, before then, like, the Dr. Boom, you know, Dr. Seven, whatever, like, I get it. The Armorsmith wins brawl memes. It wasn't actually saying, like, Hearthstone's broken, lol. But 4-mana 7-7 is, like, that's when it became cool to, like, remove any sort of filter you had about making fun of the game that you were then playing dozens of hours a week, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. No more card teases till the 24th. Nice try, Reddit. Good job. You did your duty, but nothing new yet. We got another week, and that's so the 24th, that day is actually Monday. Which means that we will have cards that are released that day to talk about, which means that you guys better be on your game. Except for Ray, you're going to be a dream hack.
I will be a dream hack. Yeah. Can phone in from the airport.
Maybe. We'll pass, Ray. We'll pass. Just fair win, enough. Dream hack, please, will you?
I will do my best.
What? You're going to have to do it with one less tooth, so might be kind of rough.
It's gonna be a better meme, I think, when I just smile for the camera and I'm just like looking.
What if that tooth was like your good RNG tooth? Did you get to keep it, carry it around with you?
No, it was very infected and would have probably killed me, so.
No, I mean like in a jar.
No.
What about a well-met grill?
A grill?
Yeah.
A well-met grill.
I don't think so, John. All right. Seeing it.
All right, let's move on. What else, JR? What else did we learn from here?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about expansion. Why did they announce the expansion but wait 2 weeks before releasing cards? And we talked a little bit about that. The team felt that the drip feed kind of caused a dip in excitement. It felt like the hype was kind of dwindling down. We talked about that earlier in the show. But the biggest thing for me, and I'm going to jump down the list because I kind of wanted to bring this up real quick. We can jump back up if you want.
No, because then someone's going to cover it again, but fine.
No.
I'm just calling it right now.
Probably. No, but can you confirm that each class will have a hero card and a legendary minion in Frozen Throne? Yes, we're going to get a hero card legendary and a class legendary. So once again, like we were assuming last week, you're going to get two legendaries for your class, similar to Un'Goro. So that's kind of a bummer.
Why?
But
explain why that's a bummer.
I think it's a bummer because I feel like it, like I really like neutral legendaries because neutral legendaries can, you know, you can get some really good ones that can fit in a lot of different decks and they're a lot more versatile that way. So when I get a neutral legendary, I feel pretty good because I'm like, I can play this in this deck and this deck and this deck. But if it dilutes that amount of decent legendaries that you can get. And so now you're like, well, only Hunter got the good stuff this time. So maybe that's what I'm going to play out of the gate. Now, it doesn't matter once you start playing more, because eventually, you know, the meta is going to figure itself out. You're not going to have to play around with it as much. But right out of the gate at the beginning, when you're trying to just build some fun decks, it's like, well, I guess I'm going to play Shaman, and I'm not going to be able to play the fun Priest deck because, you know, I didn't get the good stuff out of that. And that's the way I felt with quests is, you know, it's like, well, I got the Shaman quest and I got the Rogue quest. So I guess I'm going to play Quest Rogue. And that ended up being a good choice, but at the time, but still, it's like I didn't get it. I didn't get to explore a lot of the other good decks or, you know, fun decks to play right out of the gate and explore those.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You can continue.
That's my opinion.
You can continue to be disappointed. I approve.
One of the ways that I helped circumvent that myself was I waited a little bit to see what would be really cool to craft. So I would open up all the things in the beginning, but if I got like duplicates and I saved up a little bit of extra dust, I wouldn't immediately go and spend it on things that I thought would be cool after the first week. I would see how things would go on, and then I did a little bit. I waited a little bit longer before I started to put my dust into funner things.
Makes sense.
I got top 10 legend with Quest Warrior on day one. So I nailed it.
All right.
Nothing else to say.
Good for you.
And now you don't have your tooth to allow you to do that.
I'm going to get a humble brag sounder. So every time Ray does that, I can just be like, humble brag.
Was that really humble?
No. Just
no.
Brag, I guess. Danny, what about another one here? Take us through another answer.
Yeah, sure. So Molten Giant being unnerfed was asked. Ben Brode was asked if it was going to be unnerfed. And this one hits a little bit close to home because Molten Giant would really affects the wild metagame if that would happen. So essentially Blizzard, Ben is torn. He wants to bring Handlock back, but the deck has the potential to be really, really powerful, and he'd rather push some other ways to make the deck strong and leave Molten Giant as is. But they haven't really decided yet, so that's up in the air.
Got it. So, I mean, this... I'm glad you picked this one. I'm glad this one kind of found the way to you because you're a resident wild expert here, so you kind of know where Handlock is at and what it means to work. What it needs to work. So, like, where do you personally weigh in on this whole Molten Giant unnerf, Hall of Fame it, or whatever, as far as how it pertains to Wild?
So, in Wild, you have some really strong defensive cards and healing, like you have Anti-Keelbot and Sludge Belcher. And because of those two cards, if they ever unnerf Molten Giant, Handlock is going to be back, and it's going to be one of the strongest decks there is. Like, Reno Lock is a mid-tier 2, tier 1 deck. As soon as you add the Molten Giants in, and you can add some consistency into the deck, because one of the weaknesses of Reno Lock is you have a bunch of 1-ups. When you add a little bit more consistency into the deck, and you have, like, a controlling Warlock-style deck, the power level is going to be very, very high. And then you couple that with Blizzard potentially adding in some Handlock cards for like Standard, and the deck just gets really powerful.
Cool. What about, I guess this doesn't really stand or weigh against Standard, but I think a really good question is there anything that we can see that you guys can think of that brings Handlock back without Molten Giant?
Anti-Keelbot.
Yeah, a heal for Warlock would be good.
That's like the main problem, is that they don't have any good weights to heal themselves for a lot of health.
Okay.
Easy enough. If, like, Reno Lock was so good because of Reno, obviously, but like, imagine if there was a card like Reno that wasn't like super broken, aka Anti-Keelbot, like Handlock would just be good again.
Imagine if Warlock had greater healing potion.
Yeah. I mean, that would effectively do the same thing too, yeah. They just lack healing.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, we've got a lot of things to go through still, so let's go through it. Has the team considered creating a set of free cards that rotates weekly? Yes. But it may be too complex. Ben says the team is looking at other options that hit similar goals but are less complex. This was an excellent answer that also told me nothing in the sense of,
well, it does tell us a little
bit.
What
are the goals and what is less complex? Sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry. Go ahead, Danny. What were you going to say before that?
I was going on to the tangent.
Go on to a different one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going on to the point where, if they start to release like new, a free set of cards that rotate weekly and everything, they're going to have to start updating the iPhone client and all the mobile clients. That's one of the big deadlocks in Blizzard's design philosophy. They have to do everything on all clients. So that really holds them back in certain instances. And maybe while they're trying to do something like that, they might not be able to do it logistically.
They can't keep that server side.
I'm not particularly sure, but
JR, our resident, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like, that's the first thing. I'm like, if they were going to do that, because games like Vainglory, for example, do the same thing for like hero rotations for a MOBA without having to update the mobile client every time. Like, is there a popular way? Are we even equipped to answer that question? I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know without, you know, knowing Hearthstone's code and their deployment strategies. Each company does it differently. So I'm not gonna backseat program on that like a lot of Reddit does.
I'm not even a programmer, but I tell Reddit all the time how easy the coding would be to do. My 10-year-old can do it, you know?
Yep.
I don't even have a 10-year-old, but on Reddit, my 10-year-old could do this. Why can't a big company like Blizzard do this, you know?
Right.
On kind of the same vein here for a second. Somebody asked the question, has the team tried to release a few cards each month to help with the game, keep the game fresh between sets? And surprisingly, I was actually surprised he answered this question. He said, yes, they've tried a lot of different approaches to keep the game fresh, like reintroducing wild cards into standard for a limited time, or even a block constructed format for ladder and other things. I'm sorry. I'm ignorant here. Do any of you guys know what a block format is?
Like set by set, like set and then.
So let's imagine in this case that Year of the Mammoth would be like a block, and they made let's even go back to Year of the Kraken, right? And let's say they made three sets Kraken. Let's say they made three sets for the Year of the Kraken.
Kraken.
Quit making fun of the way I pronounce words. Anyway, remember I made you leave the show earlier.
I've already cried twice this show.
Let's imagine that those three sets are all revolved around a theme. Like, let's say they're all just revolved around pirates for the heck of it. That would be considered, those three sets would be considered a block in that case.
Got it. So maybe I'm oversimplifying, but it sounds just like a more exclusive, a more defined standard.
Right.
Okay.
In a way, in Magic the Gathering, like they might have like three blocks per standard format. And so that each block might have a different theme based around the type of cards that you see, maybe the keywords and things like that.
Got it. Okay. Letter experience updates. Let's do this. And then I'll start calling on you guys again. But this one's a long one, and I don't want to have to make you read on the show. You guys work hard enough, and at only 30 dust an episode. Come on. Anyways, any updates on the new ladder experience? Yes, they've got a design they're excited to try. Ben even says that they wonder if just mixing it up is the right answer for the ladder itself, changing the ladder format every 5 or so years. Once they know how long the feature will take to implement, they'll start building it. It'll take a lot of iteration. Heard that one before. Their major goals: reduce the monthly grind for top level players, except Ray, increase progression for the bottom 25% of players, including Eldorian, get better matchmaking for Danny. So between those three things, they have another goal of improving the new player ranked experience for me that will come separately. So they're literally like, we have goals for every different host of WellMet is basically what they've said. So, hey, good job, guys. So that's pretty hefty. I'm honestly, there's something that I don't love about this answer, and I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but he's basically, what he said first is like, I wonder if just mixing it up is the right answer. Changing the ladder format every 5 or so years, which means that what I'm inferring here is that the new ladder experience that they're trying to implement is also one that's prone to being stale, which is a little bit scary to me. Like the Overwatch ladder, at least so far, has not become stale for me. It's a true skill system, so it's totally different. It's like if you had the ladder, or if you had the legend system all the way down to rank 25 in a way. So like from that perspective, I'm a little bit, I don't know what, like I'm a little bit concerned.
See, I read that a little bit differently. I read it, I'm still concerned, don't get me wrong, but I almost read it as their current iterations that they're working with, like he doesn't seem happy with maybe. And maybe he's like, well, maybe we just need to mix it up every 5 years instead of trying to build, you know, something absolutely brand new. That's the way that I kind of inferred with it. Is that maybe it's just not going as well as what they hoped.
I just hope they start me off at Legend.
Yeah.
The climb up is a bit. Says the two consistent Legend players. Like, I'd be fine with rank 10. I'd be fine with
that. The grind is really long up there. But what I view this as, I view this as them trying to plan to make sure that it's not stale for 5 years. So they go in and they say, we want to have something that's robust that will last us this entire time. We don't want to go in and be stale a year in. We want to make sure that in 5 years, because, I mean, how far in advance are they planning their expansions? Like a year?
A decade.
Two maybe?
A decade.
No.
When they're running they're working on our Google Glass. Sorry.
They're working on the first set of next year right now, and they're starting to just plan the second set of next year. They're about a year ahead.
How do you
know
that?
I remember reading it somewhere.
Okay.
Like recently.
Did you just get done Snapchatting Brode and Yongwu or something? Or if like what?
No, like I remember. I don't remember if it was in this AMA or. But it was something from a designer that said
I know they've said in the past that they're usually like 3 or 4 sets ahead, at least as far as like concrete kind of idea type stuff. So that makes sense.
Reassuring to me to see that they're looking 5 years ahead then, whereas they're normally looking 1 year ahead.
Right. That's true. And it's been out for what, 5 years now? Is that what they're saying? Is they're saying that the game... 2013, so we're coming up on
close to 5 next year.
Wow. Coming up on 5. Wow, what have I done with my young adult life? I guess is the first realization I have.
What have I done with my old adult life?
So I'm excited for this. I'm excited. Here's the one thing I do know, with these types of features that Blizzard takes so long to implement, when they do implement it, to Danny's point, like it's right, you know, like it's they don't mess around with those types of things. It's not like, hey, the ladder is only 10 to legend now and legend players start at 5 instead. Like it's not something like that. It's something much more robust, and those are a lot of different goals for a ladder system, right? Like how do you cater to the top, you know, what is it now? 1%, 1.5% that hit legend 0.5%, something like that. How do you cater to that crowd while also helping the bottom 25% of players, while also making the ladder feel more rewarding and less grindy and give you a feeling of progression? It's a really complicated answer. And so kudos to Ben to even answering that question.
I mean, and even then, like, the majority of your players are going to be rank 5 to 20, right?
Right.
In my opinion.
I would say actives 5 to 15. That's where I feel like things live.
Imagine if they gave, like, the reward chests at every, like, milestone instead of at the end of the month. They just gave you reward chests at, like, milestones. Like, once you hit rank 5, you get, like, the rank 5 chest. Like, when you hit rank 5. And then, like, you get something else for hitting legend.
So, like 15, 10, 5. So, like, your rank chest for every... I mean, I don't know if you can get... But, like, if you kept them at rank floors, right? You'd have 15, 10, 5, and legend. You know, throughout the month, getting 4 different rewards. Even if they're less than your end-of-season reward. Is that what kind of like you're saying?
Well, they could take away the end-of-season reward. And like distribute and just, it.
Cool, hit rank 5 today. Got my reward. Check out.
It gives you something to grind towards, so it doesn't feel like if you're a casual player, like you feel more rewarded for hitting that rank floor as opposed to waiting till the end of the month.
Yeah. I mean, regardless, what they need to do definitely is add more rewards to their system. Because I don't feel like you are rewarded good enough right now.
Even honestly, even more incremental rewards. Like Ray hit, like, I think a really smart point of like getting that immediate reward once you hit a milestone. Like, how much better is that than, you know, hitting rank 5 the first week, you know, of the season and not actually seeing any rewards from that until, you know, 21 days later or whatever.
I mean, like, there's literally no reward for hitting legend unless you get like top 100
or your first time. But yeah, there's literally no reward for the top 0.3% of players.
No, if you finish outside of top 100, you basically feel like you wasted the whole month.
I can't remember if it was Jeff Cap. I think it was Jeff Kaplan for Overwatch. You know, he had a really interesting point about, like, you should be incentivized to play the game and progress and get better. At the same time, like, there is a balance between just making sure that the right people are playing the right game type. And he was talking about competitive mode in Overwatch and how, like, the rewards are kind of lame for Overwatch, to be completely honest. You, at the end of the season, if you're top 500, you get a animated spray and a special player icon. That's all you get for doing it. And people have been calling. They're like, hey, give us better rewards. Give us more rewards for competitive play. And in the end, he's kind of like, at the end of the day, we want you to play competitive play because you want to be competitive, not because you're rewarded. And a good competitive system rewards you for playing competitively versus just giving you more rewards, giving you bonus credits or extra loot boxes. And so I think that's a really interesting way. I mean, it's definitely, he definitely, you know, was saying that there's a balance between rewards and just saying, okay, people who don't want the competitive rewards, what do we have for them to feel engaged into the game? And I think in Hearthstone, it's the same thing. I don't even know if it's so much about the rewards as much as it is about, do you have a game type that engages you as a player? And do you have a place, like right now, do you have a place to safely play fun and wacky decks?
Sure, the legend ladder, let's go.
No, I mean, maybe you're at rank 10 and rank 5, but at the end of the day, like, there's no guarantee that, you know, if you hop into quick play, but you know what I'm saying. The casual. Yeah. If you hop into casual, that you're not going to run into some dude who's just like playing his first 5 games of Pirate Warrior before he plays it on the rank 15 ladder. Like, you know, there's a lot of things there. And I think rewarding players is really important, and it's not enough yet, but I think providing a system that's rewarding is even more important, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
and I think we had this discussion a little bit on Discord a week or two ago, where like I still believe that ranked mode needs to be the competitive play and needs to be rewarded correctly as competitive play. And those people that don't want to play competitive need to have a system in place that they can play casually or non-competitively and still be rewarded acceptably, you know, in an acceptable manner to play that kind of match without feeling like they have to play ranked play. Because right now there is no incentive whatsoever to play casual. It's you go to the ladder, you play ranked play because that's where everybody plays. And it's not so much you go play ranked play because that's where to play competitively. You go to ranked play because that is basically the default in the game. I don't really feel like a lot of people go into casual unless they're just like, I want to go test out some decks and not lose rank by doing it. But I feel like that is no longer even the case, because now with the ranked floors, I can, you know, if I'm at rank 5, I play around with decks all the time now, where, you know, I'm like, I want to see how this deck does against, you know, in the rank 5 area and see if it's any good. And I'm not going to worry about dropping down to 10 or whatever. So casual mode, by putting in the ranked floors, casual mode even got more useless, in my opinion, because of that. So it's one of those things where there's players that want to play, want to be rewarded for ranking up, and there's players that just want to go in and have fun. And I feel like right now there's no mode that allows that. And there's no mode that allows true competitive play, and there's no mode that allows you to just go play Hearthstone for whatever. Right now, it's everybody just does it in ranked because that's where you do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So we're already 5 minutes over our normal time. So I want to hit on a few more of the high notes here, and then we will be like, then we'll have to call it. But let's go ahead and do that for a second. So where is it? Okay. So first, odds of Hearthstone coming to console. If players are playing a lot on console, they'll do it. But
please, Nintendo Switch. But that's all I want.
Switch makes sense. But at the end of the day, your phone, your iPad is in your pocket. Who does this really benefit? People who don't have smartphones or tablets, which there are some. But that was a big thing. His favorite cards, Lord Jiraxxus. They're going to be doing more minion placement cards like Flame Tongue Totem and Meteor in the future, which is pretty cool. Ice Block rotating. They won't rotate cards outside of the Hearthstone New Year, so we're going to be for sure waiting until Q1 of 2018. But it's a card that matches their red flags for cards that maybe shouldn't be in Standard forever. And if they do remove it, it's not a decision against combo or freeze decks. It's just that the team wants things to change every year. And we've hit on it a million times in this show about how Freeze Mage fundamentally hasn't changed year over year. Profile pages. They do want to to display player stats in an engaging way, but profile pages don't really make sense. Hopefully more details later this year, quote end quote. So we'll have to
see. One interesting thing on that one. One thing on that was that they said there may be differences between regions. So whereas China may go and get something that's, I'm assuming that this is directed towards China versus NA, EU.
Right. China already has stuff.
Yeah. China already has stuff, and they're going, I mean, they might build more upon that. So that was, right. He followed up in that question on that.
Right. So there's that. The Hearthstone team believes that there's a lot of room for improvement with the spectator experience. Surprise, surprise. Reducing cost of dust for wild cards was pretty interesting. I feel like we could do a whole segment on this. But I'm going to read this verbatim from Ben Brode. There's a perception that your cards reduce in value over time because you can't use them in Standard. I think that's not a healthy perspective of the game. and this kind of change would exasperate the problem. We're going to bring back wild cards for sale, which should make wild cards more accessible.
And I believe they're actually available now. I think you can buy them online in the shop.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, don't quote me on that yet, but I believe they're available at the
quoted.
Moment.
Quoted, Danny Donuts 45. What is it? Danny Donuts _ HS on Twitter.
I think today was the release date for that. Wow. That was the rumored release date for it. So yeah. I haven't checked yet, but I'm probably going to go buy some wild packs if they do.
Got it. What card is most guilty of limiting future mechanics? Stone Tusk Boar. That's
he did say that Mike Donay also said innervate and prep.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So there's that. What's the team's current stance on additional full classes? Classes need unique spaces. They already have trouble carving out awesome space for 9 classes. Whoa, that was weird. Sometimes I feel, I often think about what is the perfect number of classes. Will it be too many? Is 15 too many? How about 50? Kind of think the number even be less than 9, except that we have some important fantasy considerations. So in other words, sit tight, you 10th classers, because you're going to be waiting for a long, long, long time, if ever, and they might even take Warlock away. Okay, they're not taking Warlock away. Obligatory tournament mode question. We've been thinking about it a lot. It's a feature we think makes sense for Hearthstone. We have nothing else to say regarding it right now.
Because they're not working on it.
Because they're not working on it. But this is a big switch in what the Hearthstone team has communicated from meh, it's kind of fine, to hey, this, you know, there's a lot of players to consider here, to like, this feature makes sense for the game. And we've seen that progress over time. Even this show, over 116 shows, we've seen this stance change. So, JR, since you've been with me since the beginning, does this feel like a pivot at all? Or is this just kind of a...
This feels like the same answer we've been getting, to be honest, where they've always kind of said that, you know, it's a feature that they would like to do, but that they're not working on it right now. It's not at the top list of their priorities, and things like that. So I don't know. It feels the same. I see where you're getting at, where, you know, the wording might give you a little bit of a,
it went from like a
little bit of a hope, but I think my hope has been killed long ago with this.
Right. It feels like it's gone from like a, yes, we hear you, we know you want it, we'll put it on the list, to like, this makes sense. This is a feature that makes sense for Hearthstone.
It's on the list, way, way back, and we'll get to it eventually.
It's on the list, but first, Death Knights. Ben Broda is a pineapple pizza kind of guy. So
he knows what's up.
He understands. No. He understands what it means to be an American. You get out of my country, sir.
Whoa. Because I don't like pineapple?
We live in the state of live free or die. There's nothing more American than our state.
Yep.
Sorry, which one was it? Vermont?
Yeah, I know. That's fantastic.
New Hampshire. We don't even have taxes. What's up?
No taxes.
What's up?
Anyway, you
got taxes.
Ben Broad correctly says pineapple belongs on pizza, but is better with pepperoni than Canadian bacon. Ben Broad hits that he will be returning with a new wrap. So, hey there, don't be scared. And the average time is 7.5 minutes per Hearthstone game, and that feels pretty good. Whew.
Seems a bit high. That seems a bit high.
It does feel a bit high as well, especially with Quest Rogue being nerfed. Like, that has to get longer, right? I don't know. Anyways,
I don't know. It took me a long time, turn one, to decide if I wanted to play the quest or not.
What a great way to end this show. We went long for you this week, so I hope you're happy. one guy on his commute wanting a longer Well-Met show. Thanks so much for wanting one. You get one this week. And because of my OCD, I need to mark these all red. Perfect. And let's go ahead and get out of here. There's a few things to that we need to talk about. And these don't make any sense. All right. Hi. How are you? You guys good? You guys good? Good. All right. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 116 of Well Met. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Send us your emails to wellmet@bluespro.com. I definitely wasn't double checking and make sure we didn't get any new iTunes reviews in that time. Yeah, wellmet@bluespro.com. Send us your emails. We really appreciate it. And Patreon, no new updates there, but a big thanks to our Well Met legends, the real Ben and Carell. You truly are legends. If you want to support Well Met, send us an email. And no, don't send us an email. Go to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. JR, yeah, iTunes reviews. Or sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you can't be the legend in Hearthstone, you can at least be legend on the show.
Hey,
that's what I do.
That's worth something.
That's right? What I do. Rank 7 on ladder, but a Well-Met legend.
There you go. There you go. But no, yeah. as far as iTunes reviews go, we did get one this week. We got a 5-star review from Regenus Prime. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. It's actually another Kansas City guy. I met him there at the last Fireside gathering that we had there a month or so ago. So thanks so much for that 5-star review. If you'd like to give us a 5-star review, just head over to iTunes, type in, search by podcast, type in Hearthstone. You'll find Well Met right there. And leave us a 5-star review, and I'll try not to mispronounce your name, but I have no guarantees about that, because apparently I mispronounce Kraken.
Kraken. Kraken. Hey guys, what's Krakelaken? Yeah. Let's get out of here. Shout outs for the week, and where can people find you, Danny?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS. And my shout out is to Tempo Storm. Use code Tempo Storm to climb the wild ladder 10% faster.
Oh my God. Sell out
cash.
You know, sell out.
You don't even
know
the name of your own team. It's not even Tempo Storm.
It's the Frozen.
No, it's not. I'm owned by the Lich King.
JR, or not JR, Ray. Hi, Ray. Couldn't remember your name because, well, just don't care that much. Shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
Damn.
There we go.
All right. My Twitter, PG_RayC. If you want to see me slowly lose my sanity playing Hearthstone, you can follow me on Twitch at RayC591. And shout outs to DreamHack, because that's going to be this weekend, DreamHack Atlanta.
Have fun, so. Dude. Do well. Represent Well Met. If you get any interviews, mm-hmm. and you get the opportunity to name drop, you know, do that thing.
All right.
Okay.
Name drop.
All right.
I got gotcha. You.
That's good. JR, what about you, man? Shout outs for the week. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Eldorian. I'm hoping, once again, to still be doing some streaming. I'm just working on when I'm going to do it and what I'm going to stream. I'm leaning towards two different things, doing charity stream with gaming, and also maybe a programming stream. I'm thinking on, like, yeah. People think it's boring, but then, John, you turn around and ask for my help. So maybe you can learn a thing or two if I stream it.
Yeah. Let me know when you're working on resizing banners on an existing WordPress template, okay, bruh?
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that.
Okay.
Not sure what I'm going to be working on yet. There's a mobile app I want to create, and maybe someone else out there can do it on pin collections from Blizzard for those BlizzCon pins.
Ooh.
I want to make a BlizzCon pin collection app. And if someone else wants to beat me to it, feel free, because I want to use that app.
Nice. Honestly, though, I think that's really cool. So I would probably tune in anyway, even though I don't understand it.
I want to explain as I go so that people can learn.
That would be nice of you. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll watch.
I'm going to dub over JR's explanations with my own explanations. You know, like where it's like the girlfriend is applying makeup and the boyfriend is like trying to narrate what they're doing. It's the same thing. It'll be the same thing. It'd be fun. I promise.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Let's do it. Maybe I can get you on the Skype call and we can.
Sounds complicated and above my pay grade. As for me, you can.
What
find
is
me,
that pay grade? 30 dust.
30 dust.
Please, I take a hit as the president and CEO of WellMet. I earn one dust annually.
Should name the episode 30 dust.
30 dust. I think there's There's a 1600 dust podcast. They're very good, actually. You guys should check them out. Spivey and some other dudes. Chris Plummer, I believe. And really cool dudes. So I feel like using the word dust is just automatically off limits.
Okay.
So anyways. Yeah, but you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, twitch.tv/kicktripod, twitter.com/kicktripod. And for real, if you are into Destiny, our first episode records July 25th. You can search on iTunes, Return to Orbit podcast, and you'll find us there. Or go to r2ocast.com. Sorry. I'll get used to it, I promise. But it's really awesome. I'm really excited. We got amazing voiceover work. I learned After Effects this week just for some of the visual stuff on it. I'm really, really excited about doing this show. So I'd love for you to check it out. r2ocast.com. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for tuning in for episode 116. Find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.bluesbro.com. Thank you to Jake Butno for our music, and tweet us at WellMetPodcast for everything else. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you all next week, nerds.
God.